For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
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 Passed Lambroy, be arranged.
I don't like dogfish, sir.
It is not dogfish, it is salmon, rock salmon. Finest rock salmon caught quite possibly off the rocky coasts of our Canadian allies. What is it, Chico?
Rock salmon, sir.
Exactly. Why is Hopper weeping?
He's not weeping, he's praying. It's double print today, isn't it, Hopper?
That'll do, boy.
Can I have yours, Groucho?
No.
You can have some of my strawberry jam, too.
I don't want your rotten turnip jam, Brindley. I've got Mexican honey my mother sent me from Mexico.
Who's on Tucker today?
Harper, sir.
Serve the pom, then, Harper. And do cheer up.
He can't kill you, Harper. Listen, what does a rock salmon sound like? Woof, woof.
Eat it, boy.
I bet it's what we had in biology yesterday.
Four seas by tomorrow morning.
Oh, sir.
Even with your parents in Mexico, it cannot have escaped your attention for the last 5 years that there's a war on.
I think it's off, sir.
You mean the Germans have surrendered?
The dog salmon, sir.
Rock salmon?
It's off.
Two helpings for you, then, Groucho.
He's right, sir.
None for you, then, Chico.
Oh, sir.
That'll teach you, Brindley.
I may look old, but I am not senile. Root boy.
Old man.
Splendid, Brindley, old man. Splendid to see you. Now, can I help you to wine? Ah, waiter.
Ah, thank you, Mr. Dobson.
Now, does everybody know everybody? What? Headmaster.
Gentlemen. It would not be appropriate to let the whole evening pass without bidding you welcome. And yet, I would not wish to belabor you with that welcome while your smoked salmon lies untasted on the plate. So, for the moment, I will restrict my remarks to expressing my pleasure at seeing so many old boys here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And later, while you are digesting not only the salmon, but also the turkey and the apple pie.
Oh.
I shall have more to tell you of the school and the events of the past year. Until then, as Monsieur Leblanc would wish me to say, bon appétit.
Leave the bottle, waiter. We'll look after that. There's a good fellow. It's really unimaginative menu. What, Brindley? You think so, Mark?
I don't suppose you know Leblanc, do you?
No. Mr. Jenkins thought French in my day. We used to call Jenkins Paddy. Taffy. Yes, I mean Taffy. Taffy Jenkins.
Yes, you were an inspired lot, Mr. Mark.
How good of you to say so, sir. I thought we were a cut above the average. I think most of us have done pretty well. Except Reverend Brindley here, of course.
What?
Oh, no offense, old chap. There's some things worth more than gold, eh?
The correct usage is Mr. Brindley. I do wish you would get these things right. You may refer to me in full, if you like, as the Reverend Jonathan Brindley or the Reverend Mr. Brindley, but to say Reverend Brindley is as silly as saying corpulent marks.
What?
Besides, your assumption may be premature. After all, a bishop gets 5,000 a year.
Did you look that up?
Certainly not. It's common knowledge, isn't it?
And what about Mr. Dale here? I've often wondered what became of you.
What? You don't read the right paper. Our friend Dale is a journalist of considerable repute. A crusading journalist, I think one might call you. Hey, Dale?
Oh, I'm very sorry. But your failure to contribute to the magazine's Where Are They Now page doesn't leave you entirely blameless, Dale. Nevertheless, it's very good to see you after so many years. And what do you crusade for?
Mr. Dale has lately returned from Lagos.
Really? How very interesting. What is happening on the Ivory Coast nowadays?
Look, I say, Dale, are you going to keep that bottle to yourself? It's a pretty poor shabby, but I'll have another cracker. Thanks very much. Talking of Jenkins, do you remember his famous bruiser?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The fearsome Jenkins and his bruiser. I hope that sort of thing no longer exists, Mr. Dobson.
Oh, nonsense, Brindley. Never did us any harm. A few thumps with the end of a rope to keep us up to scratch. No good sending a bunch of ninnies into the world. So what say you, Dale?
My name's Jenkins, as a matter of fact.
Ah, that explains it.
Explains what?
That chair you're sitting in was meant for Jenkins the French, as I understood. Indeed, Mr. Dale wrote to ask that he might sit at the same table. But then it transpired that Jenkins the French had, in point of fact, died.
Died?
Quite so. Oh, every master dies in the 12 months preceding one old boy's dinner or another. Except for that appalling man Grimes, who actually died during one. I shall be no exception. Oh, where was I?
Poor chap.
Yes, indeed. He seemed indestructible. It was part of his fierceness.
I don't think I was actually afraid of him.
It does say Jenkins on this place card.
Exactly. Everything's explained. The chair was not for Jenkins the French. It was for you. What year did you leave by?
1918.
What? Yes, you were below me. What house?
Oh, I wasn't in any particular house, as such.
Oh, nonsense. Everyone was in a house. I was in Rutledge, as it was then.
Oh, yes. Well, I can't honestly remember now. It was only a weekday boarder, or a wet leg, they called us. I forget why.
Weekday boarder? No such thing.
There was then. It was war, I expect.
I remember the war perfectly well. I was in Rutledge.
I remember I had a colour.
Oh, got your pink? Batting or bowling?
No. We were all split up into colours. I was maroon.
You're mad. I may be senile, but I'm not completely local.
Just as you like. As a matter of fact, I don't remember you, either.
Don't remember me? I'd been at the school longer than anyone alive. You subscribe to my club.
Clock?
Obviously not.
Well, I'm afraid I've been out east, more or less, since I was 21. Ever been to Malaya, by any chance?
You mean in the summer holiday? I see they've sewn the slices of lemon into little muslin bags this year. Why do you suppose that is?
It's to stop it squirting in your eye.
We've never had muslin bags at the Royal Derby Hotel before. Perhaps there were cases of temporary blindness after last year's dinner.
I believe that Mr. Marx was temporarily blind after last year's dinner.
Oh, I don't suppose you know Mr. Crawford, do you?
How do you do?
Oh, Crawford, on your left round the table, that's Mr. Dale, Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Brindley over there, and this is Mr. Marks on my left.
You're an old boy, Mr. Crawford.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Crawford left school last term. He was head boy.
Oh, no. And I'm sorry, Crawford, it's just that in my day, the red waistcoat always belonged to a swaggering young blood with a 5 o'clock shadow and a world-weary manner. How old are you?
18, sir.
Children. The upper henty must be full of children.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Marks is being heavily ironic, old chap.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Oh, I remember Beaver
and Grant Minges. They were kings. Grant Minges used a cane with a silver knob and kept a pre-Waller Gonda garage in town. They could reduce the lockers to trembling silence with one look.
Beaver's here.
Huh?
At the headmaster's table.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, do you approve of the new seating arrangement? We've always had the old boys' dinner at long tables in the past, Dale, in the Chatsworth room downstairs. But we managed to arrange a swap.
Your long tables always remind me of school. Ha! Who's on Tucker today, eh?
Harper, sir.
So you are. Oh, jump to it, lad. Let's have a pudding in. Oh, why haven't you been eating? You hear me, boy? What did he say?
He says he's not feeling well.
Not feeling well? Why should anybody expect to feel well? Has he got a mug, Chip?
He's just got the fritz, haven't you, Harpo?
It's all right for you, Groucho. He got as far as you this morning.
All right, all right.
Get off.
Oh, do stop crying and take your plate away. No, you can't leave yours, Anderson. I'm not having any more waste.
Oh, I don't feel well.
If you don't feel well, why didn't you go to Staggers this morning?
I don't know, sir.
Oh, don't be stupid, boy. I will not tolerate stupid replies. Oh, very well. Go to Matron directly after lunch, and if she can't find anything wrong with you, I'm going to put you on funky for the whole weekend. Have you been reading a table?
No, sir.
No? What do you mean, no? Is that a book or isn't it?
Yes, sir. I wasn't actually reading, sir.
Give it to me at once. What's this? Ah, very well. Since you find this so fascinating, let me have page 16 translated into Latin by the morning as far as De la Boulanger.
French into Latin.
Now, isn't that interesting? It has never occurred to Anderson that one foreign language can be translated into another.
He assumes that every strange tongue exists only by virtue of its not being English. Aha! Milk pudding.
Dried milk.
Frog spawn.
Put it down, then. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Ah, Harpo speaks. You're not mute after all. You just have nothing to say.
You can have mine, Brindley.
No, thanks, Groucho. It's not milk. It's phlegm, I bet you.
Nothing wrong with phlegm. Fresh from the Ministry of Food's prize herd of Jersey rocks. I just said something extremely visible. Root boy.
Video, Videri, Reese. I laugh.
It wasn't that funny, Crawford.
Sorry, sir.
Perhaps you'd better pass the wine on.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
There you are, Brindley. I don't think I should have any more. Oh,
can't say I blame you, old man. I only care for French wines myself.
Wait, that's a Burgundy on the bottle.
Oh, it's the old wine ramp, Vicar. Cheapish, reddish, and Spanish. Mark my word, or my name's not Mark.
I say, Brindley, you've had enough.
Dale's imbibed most of it, with respect.
Well, welcome to it, Dale. As for the turkey, I wouldn't give it to my chow.
Your chow?
No, my chow.
Oh.
An absolute brute he is, but one needs to have a guard dog about the place. Got a bit of decent silver, you know.
Hope that fellow Marx isn't a typical old boy nowadays, eh, Dale? I tell you one thing, he wouldn't have lasted long up country, certainly not in the old days. Christmas turkey came out of a tin, if you were lucky. My goodness, yes. Suited me, though. I tell you quite frankly, Dale, after the war, I didn't bother with home leave at all. It wasn't home anymore, you see, not as I knew it. Spent my leaves in KL or Singapore. Mind you, here I am again, and for good. I tell you what it was, Dale. Once I retired and life was all leave, well, I began to feel abroad again. Damn it, I was homesick. Or school sick. I think I came back just to attend this dinner for the first time. Like you, I believe. The old school was my England, you see. At least it was the part I knew best and thought about, missed. I had a fine time. Good friends. We all seem to belong to each other, you know. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I was hoping I might see one or two survivors. Bunny Sullivan, especially. He was a close friend. And younger Robinson, his brother was killed in by last year. He was in destroyers. Don't think I know anybody.
Mr. Dobson, What happened to Bunny Sullivan? Do you know?
You mean Bunty Sullivan? And anyway, it wasn't Sullivan. I forget his name, but it wasn't Sullivan. I expect you've got it mixed up with Seligman.
He was captain of squash.
Hives, you mean?
Was it?
We'd never been a squash school. You realize, Mark, that fellow isn't really Jenkins at all.
Well, of course not. Jenkins is dead. God rest his soul. I'll never forget you, Tommy Jenkins. Here's to you, old chap.
No. I mean, he isn't even the Jenkins he claims to be. He may have been a Jenkins, but I don't know this chap.
Well, it must be 50 years.
I never forget a boy. Besides, he's made several elementary mistakes. I don't know what his game is, but he's an imposter.
No, I just can't remember Dobson at all. He must have been a complete nonentity, if he was there at all, I mean. Something damned odd about the man. What's he trying to prove with his rigmarole? Damn it, I played squash. Personally, I think the old boy's just passed it. He's obviously mixing up this school with some other school he was at. His mind's gone. I should know. I had my first cigarette in the squash court. Bunty and I were thick as dogs. Bunny. Oh, yes. Where are they now? The snows of yesteryear. Life was simpler. And England was such a pretty place. I swear people were nicer. I don't remember such desperation over winning the next trick. Yes, the old school was damn good to me. It was all pasture land then, you know. Long summer evenings when we were all in bed and almost asleep. We'd hear the farmer's boy on the hill calling the cattle home, singing them home. God, yes.
Happiest days of my life, a coin of phrase.
Yes, indeed.
Love to have them all over again. Still, I've done the next best thing.
What's that?
Sent the boy, of course. How's Gerald buckling down, Crawford? Well-liked lad, isn't he?
Gerald, sir.
My boy.
Marx Crawford.
Oh, yes, sir. We don't call him Gerald.
But of course not. Has he got a nickname? Little beggar tells me nothing.
I'm not sure. He's in junior
school. He's got to have a nickname. You haven't been accepted till you've got a nickname. Isn't that right, Chico?
Huh?
Hey?
What?
I quite forgotten.
Yes. Oh, yes. Dale Brimsey and Marks. We used to call you the, now what was it? The Three Musketeers. Chico, oh, no. No, that can't be right.
I told you, he's past it.
No. It was the Three Marx Brothers. Groucho, Chico, and...
Harpo! Exactly.
That was it. Those were the days, eh?
Yes, indeed. Did you have a nickname, Crawford?
Well, not really, sir.
I regret to say that I'm referred to as Dobbin.
Dobbin!
Crawford seems embarrassed. Perhaps he thinks I didn't know. I can't think why. After all, Crawford, you were aware, were you not, that you were sometimes known as Crackers?
Crackers!
Who said that?
Mark?
It wasn't me, Crawford.
Come on, I want to know which of you said that. Bellamy?
Said what?
My name is Crawford. Come here.
We didn't mean anything, Crawford.
And you, Mark?
I didn't do anything, Crawford.
You stink, Mark. You stink and you're wet. I do not like wet, stinky boys. Do you hear me, Marks? I will not abide wetness and stinkiness on any account. Why are you so wet? Don't go away, Bellamy. Now then, Marks, tell me why you are so wet. How dare you be wet in my presence, Marks? Answer me, you moronic little tick. Don't you know that failure to answer a question offends me, Marks? Take off your shoe. Go on, take it off. I'll teach you to be wet.
You can't. Please, Crawford. I've got a mug from Matron and excuse football and everything.
How dare you answer me back? My God, you're so wet, Marks. Wetness must be beaten out of you. I'm watching you, Bellamy. Don't leave us. Bend over, Marks. Bend over!
Please, Crawford. Ah!
The traditional order of program will be slightly different this evening. Owing to a very sad circumstance.
I deplore this. Anyone would think that no one had ever died before.
I have to inform you that a few days ago, Mr. R.L. Jenkins died in hospital after a short illness. Many of you will remember him with affection and respect.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a master for 20 years, and even since his retirement 10 years ago, he has been... one of us, a familiar figure at these dinners, and even more behind the scenes, a tireless and selfless worker for the school. It is sad, indeed it is very difficult, to realize that his dapper figure, with gown billowing and moustache bristling, will no more be seen hurrying from Monk's Pond to chapel, and indeed... chapel will not be the same without his baritone, shaming younger men.
Ridiculous fact.
Like all the best teachers, he had a passion for his subject, and the absolute conviction that if it was not necessarily the most important subject, it was the most rewarding. I think it would be fitting, therefore, if before we said grace, we were to stand for a minute or two in silence and think of Mr. Jenkins, who is lost to us.
I say, Dale, are you asleep?
Goodbye, Mr. Jenkins. Or rather, au revoir.
Mr. Dale, we've got to stand for Jenkins.
I'm sitting down for Jenkins. We stood for Jenkins long enough. And anyway, Jenkins has stood me up.
Dale!
Jenkins, where are you now that I really need you?
What's the matter with your man?
Shut up, Marks. He never taught you anything either. He made us afraid.
Speak for yourself.
We walked into French like condemned men. We were too afraid to learn. All our energy went into ingratiating ourselves and deflecting his sadism onto our friends. We brought in lumps of French to propitiate him until the bell went and some of it stuck, that's all. Right, Brindley?
Look, this is not the time.
Once, when I was ill, itself an admission of some obscure failure, you will remember, I spent my time in the sand feverishly keeping up with the French I had missed, using my brother's exercise book. He used to lend me it. One day, he forgot to pick it up and found himself in a French lesson without any prep to hand in. Jenkins slapped him around for 5 minutes. What a stupid man. I think we would have liked French. It is not, after all, a complex language.
I can hardly believe my ears. I apologize to those who have had to endure that muttering. I do not know the reason for it, but I am profoundly shocked. I will say no more at present. Please be seated, gentlemen, for announcements, which will be followed, as usual, by grace, and then the school song, with our music master, Signor Sarto, at the pianoforte.
Just Groucho to make a scene.
Silence! First of all, I want to draw attention to the deplorable state of the lockers. In future, boys who omit to put away their Wellingtons properly will be punished. Prefects, please see to it. Secondly, it has been drawn to my attention that after last Saturday's away match at Bridlington, certain members of the second 11 were seen in the town without their caps and in the company of girls. I must say that I am profoundly shocked by this misuse of trust. If there is any repetition of this street corner behavior, I shall, without demur, have the Bridlington fixture cancelled. Thirdly, gentlemen, it is with great pride and pleasure that I am able to announce to you an item of news that has brought great honor to the school. Namely, that Her Majesty the Queen has been graciously pleased to appoint Geoffrey Carson, an officer of the Order of the British Empire, for services to national industry. Congratulations, Carson Minor.
Why did you come, Dale?
I wanted to see if I got him right, if he had any other existence which might explain him. As it is, he'll have to go to my grave as I remember him. Still, perhaps he remembered me as a minor bully and a prig. Which I was.
Some of us have happier memories.
Oh, yes, the snows of yesteryear. Where were they then? Oh, where the fat owl of the remove? Where the incorruptible Steerforth? Where the harrow match and your best friend's beribbon sister? Whither Mr. Chips? Oh, no. It's farewell to the radiators, the punishable whisper, cheerio to the uncomprehending trudge through Macbeth and sunbeam defined by chalk dust, the sense of loss in the fruitcake sent from home, the counted days, the hollow fear of inconsiderable matters, the hand raised in bluff.
Sir, sir, me, sir.
It wasn't all like that, Groucho. We had good time.
And Marx has sent his son? God, I wish there was a way to let small boys know that it doesn't really matter. I wish I could give them the scorn to ride them out, those momentous trivialities and tiny desolations. I suppose it's not very important. But at least we would have been happier children. And childhood is the last chance gulch for happiness. After that, you know too much. I remember once, I was 7, my first time at prep school. I remember walking down one of the corridors, trailing my finger along a raised edge along the wall, and I was suddenly, totally happy. Not elated or particularly pleased or anything like that. I mean, I experienced happiness as a state of being. Everywhere I looked in my mind, nothing was wrong. You never get that back when you grow up. It's a condition of maturity that almost everything is wrong all the time, and happiness is a borrowed word for something else. A passing change of emphasis.
Gentlemen!
Maturity is a high price to pay.
Let us say grace. For what we have received, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
You're laughing at me. I'm just thinking. For 10 years of my life, 3 times a day, I thanked the Lord for what I was about to receive and thanked him again for what I had received. And then we lost touch. And I suddenly thought... Where is he now?
It's all funny, Harper. Just drink all your wine.
No. By all means, no. The brandy is quite tolerable.
And of all broken-hearted, are we ever broken-hearted?
No! I say, have they changed the song?
What school were you at, Mr. Jenkins?
Oakley, of course. Oakley House for the sons of merchant seamen's widows.
Oh, dear. I think that's the lot having dinner downstairs, the Chatsworth room.
On my fellow Oakleyans, onward into life. Never mind the sorrow, never shun the strife. Spread the flag of vision all around the globe. And the lesson we have learned in happy days at home. Be the scourge of cruelty, of even be the bane. It's not so much around before and how we pray again. Onward, fellow Oakleyans, day is by the rule. Up for green and country, up the dear old fool. Onward, fellow Oakleyans, onward into
in Where Are They Now? By Tom Stoppard, Carlton Hobbs played the part of Mr. Dobson. The headmaster was played by Lockwood West. The old boys were Marks, Timothy West, Dale, John Wood, Jenkins, Rolf Lefebvre, Brindley, John Humphrey, and Crawford, Kenneth Fortescue. The young boys were Groucho, Martin Baker, Chico, David Howe, Harpo, William Long, Anderson, Charles Pinner, Young Marks, Geoffrey Owen, and Bellamy, Anthony Barnett. The play was directed by John Tidyman.